All right. Well, good evening. Great to see y'all here this evening. And those of us that are online, if you would, stand if you can. We're going to start out by singing Change My Heart, O God. Change my heart, O God. Make it ever true. Change my heart, O God. May I be like you. Change my heart, O
Shout
Shout to the Lord, all the earth, let us sing. Power and majesty, praise to the King. Mountains bow down and the seas will roar at the sound of your name. I sing for joy at the work of your hands. Forever I'll love you, forever I'll stand. Nothing compares to the promise I have in you. Amen. There's a land that is fairer than day, And by faith we can see it afar, for the Father waits over the way to prepare us a dwelling place there. In the sweet by and by, we shall meet on that beautiful shore. In the sweet by and by, we shall meet on that beautiful shore. We shall sing on that beautiful shore the melodious songs of the blessed, and our spirit shall sorrow no more, not a sigh for the blessing of rest. And in the sweet by and by, we shall meet on that beautiful shore. In the sweet by and by, we shall meet on that beautiful shore. To our bountiful Father above, we will offer our tribute of praise for the glorious gift of His love and the blessings that hallow our days. In the sweet by and by, we shall meet on that beautiful shore. In the sweet by and by, we shall meet on that beautiful shore. Amen. Praise the Lord. Any other pick of hymns this evening? How Great Thou Art? All right, that's a good one. I just got to find the page number, and let's find it first. How Great Thou Art, 269, 147. O Lord my God, when I in awesome wonder consider all the worlds thy hands have made, I see the stars, I hear the rolling thunder, thy power throughout the universe displayed. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee, how great thou art, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee, how great thou art, how great thou art. When through the woods and forest glades I wander, and hear the birds sing sweetly in the trees, when I look down from lofty mountain grandeur, and hear the brook and feel the gentle breeze, then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee, how great thou art, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee, how great thou art, how great thou art. And when I think that God his Son not sparing sent him to die, I scarce can take it in that on the cross my burden gladly bearing,
He bled and died to take away my sin. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. When Christ shall come with shout of acclamation and take me home, what joy shall fill my heart. Then I shall bow in humble adoration and there proclaim, my God, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Any others? All right. Praise the Lord.
Check three. There it is. Amen, amen. We have any praises in the place? Praises tonight. Oh, yeah, Loopy got a praise. Loopy got a praise. Let's see here.
Well, my first praise, thank God Jackie came to church this morning. I was just so surprised.
Yeah, amen.
Yep, she ended up making it. I was just very thankful.
Right.
And we've been praying for her for a
yes.
while. Also, I just want to thank the Lord that we had that storm, and like everybody else, my power went out. And then when the power did come back on, my AC was out.
Oh, no.
Yeah. And so it was the one downstairs. And uh-huh. So we have this little friend that I used to be the lunch lady at their Christian school.
Yeah.
And so he has an air conditioning business. And it's a blessing that, you know, he's helped us a few times. But I was able to call him in the midst of all this going on, and he got someone out there the same day.
Amen.
And then was able to replace, it was the furnace, one of them, the full furnace. We had to, that's what you call it, the furnace that's got the blower motor.
The blower motor in it. So
yes.
The blower motor was out?
And there another thing in there. So he
okay.
said, you know what, we could just piece it and put it, but the other things may end up going out, might as well get another furnace. So he gave
yeah.
us a really good deal, which
good.
Is a blessing,
yeah,
and
amen.
Got it done the same day. So thank you,
amen.
Lord,
amen.
That we have AC.
Yeah, it's always good to have AC in. Yeah. Let's see here. Ron got a praise. Yeah.
I got my jockey suit on today, man.
Yeah, I just want to thank the Lord. We have visitors like Miss Sandy.
Yeah.
And can't remember your name.
CC today?
Yeah. And
Sandy, CC? Yeah.
But Sandy said she'd been watching you online.
Yeah.
And decided this is where she wants to come
Amen.
To check you out live.
No, no, no. No, she said that during Sunday school. And James, let's see here. James, last name, James. Help me out now. James Wood said it's the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
That's what it is. Amen. Holy Spirit.
I try to get his name down.
Huh?
Nathan, yeah, that's just Nathan.
Nathan in the house with us.
Nathan
good to have visitors on Sunday night, man. That's a praise.
Amen.
All right.
Amen.
All right, visitors.
All
right, Miss Speaker, you got a praise?
Hold on, here we come.
Wednesday night, through all that storm, we had a tree top completely twist off and fall into my garden. It did not fall on my house. So
Amen.
That's a praise.
Yeah.
That's a good praise.
I cannot believe how many trees came down. Some was still down.
Yeah.
So many trees down. Yeah, a tree down did not hit house.
Well, our trampoline blew next door.
It blew over the fence next door?
Yeah, perfectly yeah. Land right in front of the two cars. I mean, it picked it up and landed over there. I just praise the Lord. It didn't knock his car windows out. But and I praise the Lord it didn't get in his pool. That would have been hard to get that out of the pool probably.
Did you already get it back in your yard?
I had to disassemble it. I had to disassemble it. It's 18 foot.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I had to disassemble that pool, trampoline. And me and Kathy, I said, let's try to roll it. You know, Kathy got really short arms. Man, I got long arms, you know. Anyway, we worked that thing, and she just barely over the fence. So I didn't have to take the ring and the center out. So
right.
Saved a lot of time on it.
Yeah.
But I just praise the Lord. It got so close to the two cars. It could have easily knocked both the windows out of them cars.
Oh yeah, man.
Easy, cause it's big.
Yeah, when Hurricane Ike hit, we were living in Pearland, and I knew it was coming, so I took the net off of our trampoline, turned the trampoline upside down so the
that's
jump.
What they said, part, do yeah.
And then put cinder blocks on it, and that guy stayed. But my neighbor across the street, they had a trampoline. And they just flipped it upside down but didn't put any cinder blocks on it.
It still got
that him. Hurricane Ike picked that dude up, somehow got it between two-story houses and down the street, six houses down, and then into the side of the house, and that thing just exploded, that trampoline did.
Things fly yeah. Like, they fly yeah. Like kites.
They're yeah, they fly like kites. You get enough wind on them. Yeah. All right, amen. Yeah. Yeah, we didn't take that sucker down. There's no way.
Yeah,
it's staying. I had welded after Hurricane Ike. I had welded that the supports for the cage. I'd welded that sucker to it, so it wasn't going nowhere. Amen. All right, praises. Any other praises? Anybody else? All right, got a praise in the back. Yes, sir.
Yeah. Praise the Lord, Lori's flat tire leak got fixed for free.
All right, amen.
Yeah, amen. Shout out to Discount Tire.
Yeah, they do that for free, man. Praise
amen,
the Lord.
Amen, yeah.
Discount Tire, way to go. All right, requests?
Prayer requests. All right, who's first? Hold up, we got Ron.
Ron.
Wade, there you go.
Okay, so the latest report on my sister is that the nurse called one of the girls and told there's blood in her urine and that her kidneys are going to be shutting down from the cancer. And they put the post out that she may only have 1 to 2 weeks left.
Yeah.
And so prayer for her girls and son that give them peace and comfort through this time of
Amen.
Difficulty for them.
Amen, brother. You got it. Be in prayer for Miss Davlin. She's in the hospital. She's got cellulitis, so very painful condition. And it looks like she has a pretty serious case of it. So be in prayer for Miss Davlin, Marilyn Davlin. Yes, sir, Brother Ronnie.
Yeah, pray for Sandy of the loss of her husband about a month ago, I think she said.
All right.
Just give her comfort and peace during this time. And God brought her here for some reason.
Amen.
You know, God directs, so we Amen. Just thankful for that. But again, pray for comfort and peace
you
for
got
her.
Got it. All right. Any other prayer needs?
Sharon Heibarger, Military and Unspoken.
All right. Those of you with an unspoken request, lift your hand. All right. Very good. All right. Military and Unspoken. All right, what else, what else? Anything else? Yes, ma'am.
Lift up Robert, my husband, tonight, and just God just work on his heart and physically and mentally, spiritually. All.
Amen.
I want to go ahead and start lifting up the Vacation Bible School. So we are going to try to have that the 18th through the 20th of July.
Amen.
And so we're going to be working on spreading the word around the neighborhoods and so forth. And so it looks like we're getting some plenty of helpers that are going to come on board.
18th through the when now?
Through the 18th through the 20th. It's going to be 6 to 8 in the evenings. So it'll be Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday.
Tuesday, Wednesday. All right. Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. Three-day VBS. Okay.
Yep, 3 days. And then, just want to lift that up, that the Lord will bring in some some kiddos and families and all of
Amen.
The above.
Amen. You're going to go 6 to win?
6 to 8. So it'll be 2 hours for the evening. So, yeah.
Okay. All right. Right.
Pray for volunteers.
Volunteers. Amen. What else? Yes.
I want to pray for Kevin. He went to the hospital the other night. Checked himself in. His pancreas is messing with him again. So
yeah.
You know, he can't eat nothing. You throw up, you throw up, you throw up. So you got to get off food for 2 or 3 days or something like that on the IV. And just lift him up and all the others that I've mentioned before, Stevie Fowler. Yeah, and Paul
Qualls.
Yeah, and I always forget, I don't know his last name, it's Jacob. Vince is Terry's son.
Mentor.
Yeah, thank you, brother. I want to get his last name in there.
Struggling with addiction?
Yes.
Yes.
And Alita's son, his name. What's his name, Alita? Lee.
Lee is struggling with addiction?
Yes.
No.
No, he just got some.
Yeah. Okay. Infection.
We lift him up. Just these young people struggling his life, man.
Amen.
I'm going to tell him it ain't going to get no easier, is all I got.
No, it ain't going to get no easier, man. We ain't going to make it out of this life alive. All right. Anything else that I got to cover? All right. Let's go to the Lord. Amen?
Yeah, thank you.
Our Heavenly Father, we come to you tonight, Lord. We're thankful that we have these praises to lift up and these prayer requests to pray for. Lord, we lift up these praises to you tonight, Loopy's praise. We're thankful that Miss Jackie, Lord, we've been praying for that. And, Lord, you brought her to church today. And, Lord, we just continue to pray that that will continue. And the rest of her family, Lord, would just kind of trickle back in with her. And, Lord, just help that family right now. Give them wisdom and discernment. But, Lord, we pray that you'd help them find a church home. If it be this home, we praise the Lord. If it be another church home that's Jesus-centered and Jesus-focused, Lord, we pray it would be that church home, Lord, just wherever you would have them. Pray they be in church, attending a church. So, Lord, we lift up Jackie and her family. Praise you that she made it in today. We lift up Ron's. Praise for all the visitors, Lord. It's always good to have visitors on Sunday morning and even on Sunday night. What a great blessing that is. And then, Lord, we're thankful and we praise you that that tree and Miss Bicky's on her property did not hit her house. We give you praise and glory for that. There were a lot of trees that hit houses this past storm. And so, Lord, we're thankful that that was a miss. And then, Lord, we're thankful that this trampoline of James and Kathy's didn't tear up their neighbor's property. They are able to move it back in their yard. That is a huge blessing, Lord. All kinds of insurance implications and high deductibles and everything else. So, Lord, we just give you praise and glory for that. And then Lori, with her car maintenance, Lord, we're thankful that she stumbled across discount tire. Just watch over her. She's out driving. Lord, just help her dodge all the things to tear up her tires. So, Lord, we lift her up and praise you for that tire repair. And then, Lord, as we think about these prayer requests, we lift up Miss Lorna to you and her girls and son and Ron and his sisters and brothers as they think about Lorna in this hospice situation and getting ready to go on to be with the Lord. Father God, we pray you give her grace and mercy and peace to withstand what she's got to go through. And, Lord, we pray you just be with her as she goes through the valley of the shadow of death and just help her. Comfort her, Lord, and Father God, we just thank you for keeping Miss Lorna for all eternity. So we just lift that up to you. We pray for Miss Davlin, Miss Marilyn Davlin, Lord, and HCA Tomball, struggling with this cellulitis and that lower leg, that lower extremity. Lord, we pray that she not get a bad, worse infection or become sepsis or possibly lose that leg, Lord, we're praying you would just heal her and touch her body in a miraculous way. Bring healing to Miss Davlin, Lord, and just help her. Be with John as he travels back and forth. Watch over him as he goes to see his wife from Stagecoach and back. Lord, give him safety. And then, Lord, we lift up Sandy to you tonight, the loss of her husband. We just pray that you would comfort her and, Lord, give her the peace that passes all understanding. And, Lord, thank you for your comfort. We thank you for that grace. We thank you for that mercy that you give us when we lose loved ones. Lord, we just need to lean in upon you and just get in your word and just allow the Holy Spirit to comfort us. And we're praying that for Miss Sandy. It's not easy, Lord. It's a long, long, drawn-out process. It's something we never get over, Lord. We are made to love one another. And, Lord, when we lose somebody, it's like a piece of us is taken. So, Lord, we pray you would fill that hole with your kindness, with your peace. Lord, you would just help her as she walks through that time of grief. And then, Lord, we lift up Sharon's request for the military and her unspoken tonight. And, Lord, as we think about the rest of the unspokens, Lord, those that signified by raising a hand, Lord, that's their opportunity to just voice that unspoken request silently. And we're thankful, Lord, that we can do that. And we're thankful that you hear us. And, Lord, we're thankful that you're sovereign and that you're in control. And, Lord, you've got this all taken care of. And, Lord, your timing is just not our timing. And sometimes we just get a little impatient. But, Lord, we're thankful that we can continually bring these requests to you and that you continually hear us. We lift up Robert to you tonight, Lord, and we pray that you continue to work on his heart. We pray for his spirituality, Lord. We pray for, Lord, that you would grow him in that area. And we just lift Robert up to you tonight for that. And then, Lord, we pray in advance for Vacation Bible School here at the church, a three-night VBS. We pray that it be well attended, Lord. We pray that you might send visitors our way that have never heard or seen of us, Lord. And they try that VBS and they think they want to try it on Sunday morning or Sunday night. Lord, we pray that you would bring them through the doors and let them get a look, Lord. So we're just lifting up VBS. We're praying for the salvation of those kids that attend. Some will be ready to receive Christ. All probably not, but some will. And so, Lord, we just pray as the lessons are taught and the Bible studies are given, Lord, those that are ready to receive Christ, they would make it known. And Lord, we just pray in advance that you'd save some kids during Vacation Bible School here in July. We lift up these that are struggling with addiction. Lord, we lift up Kevin, and we're praying for Kevin's health. And we're praying for his pancreas, that you would get these the levels and the numbers all back where they need to be so that he can eat. And, Lord, we pray you help him with his addiction to alcohol. We lift up Stevie to you, Lord, and Paul Qualls and Jacob Mentor, all of these young men that are struggling in this area of addictive personality, compulsive. Lord, just they can't seem to let go of what's got a hold of them. We pray that you would put them in circumstance and situation, Lord, where they have to make a choice, a hard choice. Help them get to the end of themselves, Lord, and so that they can lay it down and pick you up. And so, God, we're praying that prayer, and we're praying for bondage to be broken. We're praying for victory in their lives. We're praying that you just see them through, God. Help them as we lift them up to you tonight. We lift up Alita's son to you, Lee, tonight, and this infection in his stomach. Lord, we pray that you would see him through, bring healing to him, Lord. And it's so difficult being gut sick in the summertime, Lord. So we just pray you touch his body in a special way. We lift up Ronnie Vaculik to you, Lord, and all his health issues. We pray you help him and give him comfort. And, Lord, just keep him healthy. We lift up old John Thornhill to you tonight, Lord. We pray that you would rest him up and get him ready to finish up what he started with some of the men down there at our sister church. And so, Lord, we pray you touch his body. Just let him get rehydrated and cooled back off. And, Lord, I pray that they work smart this coming week as they try to finish things up down there, Lord. We lift up Ronnie Holman to you, Lord, and his cancer struggle and cancer fight. And we pray you might remove that cancer from him and take it from him. We lift up Charlie Thornton to you, Roger's brother, Lord, and we pray as he's undergoing all the things he's undergoing, Lord, if it be thy will to bring healing to old Charlie, Lord, we pray you touch his body and give him a great miracle of healing. If not, Lord, we pray that these final days would be days of blessing and days of fond memories. and days of visits with family and friends, Lord. We just pray that you'd help old Charlie finish his race out strong. But Lord, we lift him up to you tonight. We're praying you might touch his body and reverse this the stage 4 cancer that's on him and in him. And so, Lord, we're thankful for all you do for us. We're thankful for how you provide. And, Lord, we're thankful for your word tonight. Be with us as we get in it. And, Lord, we give you the praise and the glory for what you want to do. It's in your name we pray, and God's people said, amen, amen. All right, well, take your copy of God's word, take your Bible, and we in Leviticus, where we've been, where we'll be for some time still. And we're in chapter 18. And we have read these verses. We'll go ahead and hit them one more time. I think we're going to finish these first 5 verses or get really close tonight. Leviticus chapter 18. Have you found it this evening? All right, the Word of God reads, "Then the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, Speak to the sons of Israel and say to them," it's our first statement here, our first I am statement in this preamble, these first 5 verses. What does it say? "I am the Lord your God. You shall not," this is the negative, "you shall not do what is done in the land of Egypt where you live, nor are you to do what is done in the land of Canaan where I'm bringing you. You shall not walk in their statutes." Here's the positive side of it. Verse 4, "You are to perform my judgments and keep my statutes to live in accord with them." Here's that second statement in the preamble, right? "I am the Lord your God." And then verse 5, what we've kind of been working on, "So you shall keep my statutes and my judgments by which a man may live if he does them." Notice what it says, "I am the Lord." Amen? So let's talk about life. Life is a conflicting thing, isn't it? You got your work life, right? And then some of you have your retirement life. And in your retirement life, you feel like you're more busier than you ever been before, right? Amen? And then you got your church life, right? And then you got your family life, right? And those of us that are still working, we're trying to juggle all of it and have this work-life balance. Yeah, work-life balance. Loopy, can you relate to that? Work-life balance. Amen. And so then we think about we got our medical life, our health. When we think about our health, we got our spiritual life, how we're going about with our discipleship with Jesus and in the Word of God, our prayer life, amen. Right? Here we are doing our Bible study life. Yes. Yes. What does Jesus want to do with all of this life stuff? He wants to be in the middle of it, doesn't he? He wants us to have the victorious Christian life, yes? He wants to have a big life, an impactful life for him. Yeah, yeah, amen? Well, that kind of is where we're at here. Blessings for keeping God's rules, right? That's verse 5. "So you shall keep my statutes and my judgments by which a man may live if he does them. I am the Lord." Remember, we talked about what that life means in the context of these first 5 verses, right? As we were talking about this Wednesday night, we didn't get to finish everything we had Wednesday night because what? The storm cometh on Wednesday night, right? And we were about to chase a rabbit, and I said, let's go home, right? Praise the Lord, we got home and got in before all that hit. Amen? Leviticus 18:5. We were talking about it, how it relates with the New Testament. We said the law was never given as a means to achieving eternal life. That was a misconception. That was a taken out of context by who? The Judaizers. We said the law was a temporary provision. It's back there in that old covenant. It was a temporary provision given to a sinful people to enable a holy God to dwell in their midst and for them to dwell in the land of promise. We said the blessings which the law promised was prosperity in the land of promise. Those were bestowed upon those who obeyed all the law. Now, the blessings of salvation, we said, are promised elsewhere in the Old Testament and not on the basis of works, obedience to the law, but on the basis of faith. Aren't you thankful for your faith tonight? Amen? It is faith we are saved, right? By faith, right? And not of ourselves, right? We gave an example. We said Abraham was called a believer before the law was ever given and before he did any works. He did nothing, Abraham. He did nothing but believe in the promises of God. Now, we have Abraham's account in Genesis chapter 15, and likewise, Paul, he presses home in Romans chapter 4, providing or proving that salvation has always been by faith. It's always been by faith, apart from the works of law-keeping. We touched on Habakkuk chapter 2, verse 4, that minor prophet. We said the principle of faith is once again reiterated there, Habakkuk 2, 4. We said the salvation has always been on the basis of faith, not obedience to the law. So this life that is God's blessing on his people, as it relates in 18:5 in the land of Canaan, is the result of law-keeping. It's a type of blessing. They're going to have a blessed life. And we asked you the question, when it comes to life, do you want just life or do you want a blessed life? Everybody wants a blessed life. Amen. So you get the point of what's going on here, right? You get the point, right? So I said, we're not going to chase the rabbit on Wednesday night. We're going to chase the rabbit right now. Let that rabbit go. Pastor Steve, in a clockwise fashion, is going to chase the rabbit. Clockwise. Here we go. All right. Galatians chapter 3:12 says this. If you want to turn there, you're more than welcome. Galatians, Paul's epistle to the church at Galatia. Galatians 3:12 says, however, the law is not of faith, on the contrary. And then in my Bible, it has in bold caps, he who practices them shall live by them. That is a quote taken from 18:5. Galatians 3:12 ties right into Leviticus 18:5. When Paul cited Leviticus 18:5 and Galatians 3:12, he was not using the verse as God had meant it to be understood, that physical blessing in the land of promise was attained by law keeping. That's not what he's talking about. He's talking about the Judaizers whom he was refuting, how they would interpret it. The Judaizers taught that law-keeping was the way men were justified in the Old Testament and now in the New Age as well. In the New Testament, that's what they were peddling. And so the Gentile converts had to become Jewish proselytes and observe the Old Testament laws and their traditions, additions to the law, in order to be justified and to be saved. And Paul referred to Leviticus 18:5, and with this backdrop in view, this is what Paul is trying to say. He's saying, if as the Judaizers taught, men could be justified by works, then according to this interpretation of the law, men must keep all the law. And who can keep all the law? Nobody. Nobody can keep all the law. Only one. Yeah, Jesus. Amen? So the Judaizers thus understood live, back in Leviticus 18:5. They understood live in Leviticus 18:5 that we just read. They understood that as justification, not earthly blessing. Their misunderstanding was their fundamental error, and Paul pressed this erroneous interpretation to its illogical and tragic conclusion. Such a view demands that men must keep all the law if they are to live eternally. If that's the way you want to work it, Judaizers, we got to keep it all, or else the law serves to condemn rather than to save. Now, I'm not beating on the law. I love the law. Because the law helps you what? Helps you know you're lost. Amen? The law helps you know you need Christ. Amen? The law helps you. Amen, amen? But the law can't save you. Who's the only one that can save you? Jesus, by faith. Amen? So, what have we said? I got that rabbit. I just got it. So what have we said this past Wednesday? What have we said tonight? What have we said in the subsequent Bible studies previous up to this point? We've attempted to communicate that God has introduced the regulations which are to follow. We're in the preamble, Leviticus 18:1-5, all right? And now, when we get on down the road here in verse 6 on following into chapter 19, well, he's going to get into the regulations, right? We have attempted to communicate that God has introduced the regulations which are to follow by one, establishing his right to rule. Does God have a right to rule? And because he has the right to rule, guess what? He gets to make the rules. Amen? He gets to make them. Number two, by spelling out in broad terms, negatively and positively, what these rules require. That was verses 3 and 4, right? And then number three, promising to bless his people when they faithfully live by his rules. That was verse 5. So I'm going to give you some implications for the Israelites now. And then I'm going to give you some implications for the contemporary Christian. That's me and you here in, what is this, 2023 now? Are we in 2023? Somebody help me. I'm getting older every day. Amen? Implications for the Israelites. From these first 5 verses of Leviticus chapter 18, the Israelites are provided with a strong sense of motivation for obedience. Okay? From these words, God's people should take the commandments which will follow. They need to take them most seriously. God's not messing around. He's really telling them how he wants them to live. God is their sovereign owner, right? He's their king. And thus, he has the right to rule and to make the rules. So if they fail to keep these commandments, they will face his discipline. If they obey, they will experience his blessings. Amen? Make sense? So if they obey, they will avoid the ways of the Canaanites. What happened to the Canaanites? Got kicked out of the land. If they obey, they will avoid what happened to the Egyptians. What happened to the Egyptians? They lost their firstborn, right? Their army was covered up with water, right? And if they obey and follow God's ways as prescribed, they will miss out what happened to the Canaanites. They will miss out what happened to the Egyptians. Now that's the implications for the Israelites. What are the implications for the contemporary Christian? Let's think about that. The principle and practice of slavery, right? We kind of started talking about Leviticus 18, 1 through 5, by talking about our negative connotations to slavery, right? Ain't nobody going to tell me what to do. I ain't nobody's slave, right? We think about slavery in our own country's history. It's a rough deal. Bad deal slavery was, right? Bad deal. But slavery ain't always a bad thing when you have a perfect what? Master, amen. Yeah, you guys are tracking. Good for you, right? One would suppose that the demands of God pertaining to Israel's obedience would have little to do with New Testament saints. When we think about slavery, when we think about how it went down, when we think about where they were and where we are now, especially this might seem to be the case when we read Paul's arguments in his epistles, especially that of Galatians chapter 3. You can read that for homework, Galatians 3. We just referenced Galatians earlier. You can certainly read Galatians 3. Good little chapter for you. Amen. It is true that we're not the nation of Israel. Am I a Jew? No, I'm a Gentile. Are you Gentile? Yeah, we're all Gentiles in here. We're not Jews. We're not the nation of Israel. Well, preacher, if we're not the nation of Israel, then we're not under the Mosaic covenant. That is correct. We're not underneath the Mosaic covenant. That it's not binding on us whatsoever. But I would tell you this. The principles found in this text in Leviticus, are you ready for this? How the Bible gels together? How it transitions from old to new and new to old? Let me tell you something, friend. The principles found in this text in Leviticus are almost identical with those found in the New Testament based upon the work of Jesus Christ in the new covenant which he has inaugurated by his blood. Amen? By his blood. Yes? By his blood. Consider the principle of the New Testament which parallel those which we see, which we have seen in our study in our text in Leviticus. If one were to boil down the message of verses 1 through 5 here in Leviticus 18, if you were to boil that down, you could boil it down to simply this. The Israelites were God's slaves and thus were obligated to obey. The slavery of the Israelites was based upon the sovereignty of God and on God's deliverance of this people from their bondage in Egypt. Yes, yes? See, the New Testament teaches us that those who are truly born again, the New Testament teaches us that those who are truly born again have ceased to be the slaves of sin and Satan. We've ceased all that, and we've become slaves of righteousness, slaves of God. Slave in that context is not a bad word. It's a beautiful thing. Romans chapter 6, verse 17 and 18, Paul writing to the church at Rome, he says this, "But thanks be to God that though you were slaves of sin, you became obedient from the heart to that form of teaching to which you were committed, and having been freed from sin, you became slaves of righteousness." 1 Corinthians chapter 6, 19 and 20, again, Paul writing to another church, a church, the church, the Corinthian church. He says in 1 Corinthians 6, 19 and 20, he says, "Or do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you," right, "whom you have from God, and that you are not your own? For you've been bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body." Thus we find the Christian is a slave to Jesus Christ. Now, we're one of a few folk out there, one of a few churches in this day and age that truly believe that and preach that. People are trying to cut that out of the gospel and cut that out of discipleship. Well, you know, that ain't going to fly today, preacher. That's not going to build a crowd. Okay. I'll be faithful to God. Let God build the crowd. Amen? And that's the track I'm going to take, because one day, old Pastor Lee's going to stand before him, right? And give an answer, right? Give an answer for what he said to his people. Not my people, his people, right? So I soon follow him down the road to the T. And you know, I know people get offended by the preaching. I get it. I know they get offended. Sometimes they look at me on the way out the door. Sometimes they don't look at me. Sometimes they shake my hand. Sometimes they turn away. I get it. But I'm telling you, I do not read your mail. I'm preaching through a book. Amen? And if it so intersects your life, that is the Holy Spirit. That is not me trying to poke you in the eye or kick you in the rear. I'm just going through the book. Amen, amen? No one sensed, talking about being slaves of Jesus Christ, no one sensed or expressed this more frequently than the Apostle Paul. He gives us several examples, Romans 1:1. He gives us another example, Philippians 1:1. Again, back to Galatians. That may be the next book we preach through. I don't know. I'm really leaning on Hebrews after Colossians, but who knows? I like coffee. Hebrews. Amen. Hebrews. Galatians 1:10 we may. Well, maybe Galatians. I pray it through. We might be inclined, when we read different parts of the gospel, or maybe we attend churches that are really trying to take this slave stuff out of discipleship and out of the church and take this slave mentality out of a relationship with Jesus. And we attend these churches, and they really lean on passages like I'm about to read to you. But when I read you this passage, don't miss what's in there. Okay? Don't miss what's in there. Some churches may be inclined to question our status as slaves on the basis of our Lord's words to His disciples in John chapter 15, verses 14 and 15, and verse 17 of the same chapter. So chapter 15, 14, 15, and 17. This is what he says, and this is what a lot of people want to play. This is what they want to play when they get in church. They don't really want to do church. They want to play church, and this is what they play. "You are my friends." They key on that verse right there. "You are my friends if you do," and they leave this part out, "if you do what I command you." They leave that part out. They key on the "you are my friends," but the "do what I command you," oh, no, 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 no. No, we're going to take half of that verse and preach a 25-minute sermonette on that. That's what we're going to... "You're my friends." And then they key on the first part of this verse, verse 15. "No longer do I call you slaves, for the slave does not know what his master is doing, but I've called you friends. For all things that I have heard from my Father, I have made known to you. This I command you, that you love one another." And so, you know, somebody comes out of a church like this, they've been taught were slaves of righteousness. They've been taught we're slaves of Christ. They sit under preaching like that, and they, man, is this some kind of secret word that I've never heard before? And they start thinking, is there some kind of a contradiction in the Bible? Has our Lord not indicated that the role of servant is extinct? And that now his followers are only his friends? This guy up here, he's got a PhD. Man, he's got all these letters after his name. And he's telling me I'm a friend of Jesus. Oh, you're a friend of Jesus. I can say that because it's in the Bible. But you're also a slave to Christ. It's not an either or, it's a both and. That's what they won't tell you. It's a both and, right? If we do have a contradiction, then the Apostle Paul in about 13 letters of your New Testament are sadly mistaken in referring to himself and referring to us as Christ's slaves as well as all the saints. But as I mentioned, as I read that passage, notice that our Lord is still giving what? He's still giving commands. He's still talking about command in the context of chapter 15, verse 17. Giving commands is what masters do to their slaves. They give them commands. Now, the fact is that our Lord is simply indicating a change in the kind of slavery which the Christian enters into as a result of trusting in Him as Savior and Lord. Now, there are two ways, don't miss these two ways, and then we'll be done. There's no storms coming. And I don't have any more rabbits to chase tonight. But you need to get these two ways because you are living in the New Testament. You are living in the church age. You are poised. Some of you could actually experience the rapture of the church. Jesus is really coming back. The Bible said He was coming the first time, and guess what? He did. Yeah, amen? And the Bible's saying He's coming back, and I'm telling you, He is, right? And so there are two ways in which our slavery to God differs from that of the Old Testament saint. Don't miss this. Number one, first, we are slaves of a vastly greater privilege. To live in this time, you're a privileged individual. Why? Grace. I have no idea. Grace. Way above my pay grade. All I can say is grace. It's just grace. Now, while slaves normally are not privy to the intimate plans of their master, the disciples of our Lord, we are privy. We are privy to the plans, right? Normally, slaves are told what to do, but are never told what their master is doing or why. Those of you that have had the wonderful privilege, maybe you're with me online and you're hearing this, those of you that have had the wonderful privilege of going through boot camp in the military, you've done it. You soon found out as a new recruit, and you were taught that you were the slaves of your superior officers. New recruits, as they come online and they go through basic, they are told to dig holes and then to fill the hole back up. What's the point? Why? You don't need a why. Just dig the hole, fill the hole back up. That's what you're doing. That's what we're doing today. You're digging a hole. I want a good square hole. And guess what? You're going to fill the hole up when we're done. And if you don't get the hole filled up, we're not going to chow. So do you want to dig or do you want to talk about why we're digging? And so everybody gets a shovel. What do? They start digging. What was the reason for digging the hole? The only reason for digging the hole was to teach obedience. That was the whole point, right? But up to this point, first, we are slaves of a vastly what? Greater privilege. Up to this point of our Lord's ministry, He had not fully disclosed to His disciples what He was doing. But now, Now, as he gets ready to go to the cross, now, as the Lord is getting ready to spill his blood for all humanity, now he will disclose his most intimate plans and purposes to them, right? He tells them exactly what's going down. In this sense, they are his friends more than they are slaves, but that does not mean that they're not slaves any longer. Does that make sense to you? Amen? Second, I said there are two ways in which our slavery to God differs from that of the Old Testament saint. First, we're slaves of a vastly greater privilege. You ought to feel privileged tonight. Second, the slavery of the New Testament saint to the Lord is voluntary. It is a bondage of love. The Word of God says, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. Amen? When you get in the book of Leviticus, back in the Old Testament, do you sense a greater compulsion in there? There's a greater sense of compulsion in Leviticus than there is in the Gospel of John. Now, what I mean to say is that obedience in Leviticus comes from the top down. I'm sovereign. I'm God. I delivered you out of Egypt. I'm putting you in the promised land. This is how you're going to live. You see the top down, the compulsion? You have to do that? Amen? Now, Romans chapter 12, verse 1 says, therefore I urge you, brethren, by the mercies of God, present your bodies a living and holy sacrifice acceptable to God, which is your spiritual service of worship. Amen? We get the privilege of serving, right? In the gospel's obedience. In the gospel, obedience is the response of love. It's a response of gratitude. It's a response to the grace of God. Amen. Preacher, is that why you hammer grace? Is that why grace always intersects the message? Exactly right. Exactly right. You need to come away, man. You need to come away from every time the Bible is cracked open and read and proclaimed and preached that my soul, God loves you and sent his son to die on the cross for you. And you get the privileged opportunity to live for him. Amen. Why? Because of grace. Well, preacher, why grace? Again, way above my pay grade. Maybe when we get around the throne one day, it'll all make sense to us. I don't know why God would love sinners like us and send his son to die on the cross for us. I mean, I can write papers about it, and I can ponder and think about it, but I can't get down into the mind of God on it. His love is too expansive. He's too great. He's too holy. He's too everything. I'm finite. I'm living in time. Maybe one day when I'm on the other side in eternity, we get that knowledge. We get that download. I don't know. Now, I don't want to press this distinction too far and tell you that the Israelites didn't love God. Israelites loved God. Amen. They loved him. But we are to serve him out of love and gratitude. So think about that. Think about that as you go through the week, right? When you come to the crossroad of life, when you come to the crossroad of decision, when you come to the crossroad of choosing the Spirit's way, choosing the Word's way, choosing Jesus' way, when you come to that crossroad, are you going to serve your flesh? Or are you going to serve God out of gratitude and love? I hope tonight puts it in your pocket, right? Puts it over your ear, right? I hope tonight puts a little note in your mind that, hey man, I want to serve him out of gratitude and love. Amen. I want to be a lover. I want to be thankful. That's a good place to be. Amen. Lovingly thankful. Hallelujah. Let's pray. Amen. Dear Jesus, we come to you tonight. We thank you for this little bit of Bible study that we got in. Thank you, Lord, that you use us as we pray today in spite of us. That you use us even in spite of our sin issues and sin problems, Lord. Help us work through those things. Help us discern life this coming week and serve you with a thankful, loving heart. Lord, help us. Help us prove that salvation. We're not earning our salvation. By the grace of God through faith are we saved. But Lord, we want to prove it how we live. Not to be prideful. Not to say we're better than somebody else. But to bring glory and honor to your name. Help us do it. In your name we pray. God's people said, amen. Online folks, good to have you tonight. We'll see you next time. Visitors, good to have you all as well. Hope you come back. Amen, amen. All right, very good.